Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. Lisa is on a flight, and she's delayed, so we have Chris Sharpie, Chris Wood, Lauren Mazur.
Hello.
So on today's show, we're going to talk about Disneyland. We're back from the 60th. If you listen to our previous show, it was real short. We did it at the Grand Californian, just, you know, like 15 minutes of the highlights. So on this one, we wanted to get more into the Disneyland hotels, a little bit about the dining that we experienced there. And then we also ran into some Mouse Chat fans.
Well, so we ran into Jennifer, who's a very nice woman, and her friend was there. And they actually came out and they walked around with us and they told us what it was like from the Disneyland side because they're local. And they went on Buzz Lightyear with us. And I don't know why, but I always do really poorly on that ride. In Disneyland, as opposed to my stellar showing at World. But they hung out with us and they were super nice. So thank you for coming out. We really appreciate, you know, when people do that. And then we
ran into
Jason.
You try to get past the Buzz Lightyear thing. So Sharpie, the whole time she's like, hey, we're going to play Buzz Lightyear. You know, I'm going to whoop you. And then it was like, it wasn't even close.
It was really bad.
Score was so pathetic.
You know what? I was distracted.
Okay.
It's all new there. It's too disconcerting. I don't know. I'm not any good at that one.
Distracted.
She had like 7,000 and I had like almost 180,000.
I think I beat Chris.
I think everybody
did.
Beat
Everyone
Chris.
Beat me. I did really bad. But you know, you can have an off day. Steve, I always beat you at that and Toy Story Midway Mania. You know I do.
Yeah. Not so, there.
Yes. Okay. So you've just been like a fountain of support today. He crushed my dreams earlier because I told him I was probably going to join the roller derby.
Totally.
And he said,
crushed.
But you're so uncoordinated. So, I don't know. You're not very supportive.
I know,
anyway.
But yes.
So, yes. So, he beat me. And then we met Jason Cram. And Jason seems to know everyone at Disney World. And I have been, or Disneyland. And I have been corresponding with Jason, you know, back and forth here and there. And he's friends with all of us on Facebook. And so, I was kind of excited to meet him. And where did we meet up with him at, Steve?
Oh, it was awesome. So, originally, we were thinking of maybe trying to do Club 33. And then Chris was nice enough to get with Jason, and Jason set us up with the Magic Castle, which nobody knew what it was except me. And I totally forgot that it was even out in Hollywood because
you know,
it's like
every time you say the Magic Castle, it reminds me of that show that was on PBS with the two girls and the singing flowers. What was
Wow, this sounds pretty intense. It's like H.R. Puffin
what,
stuff.
Though?
The Magic Storybook Land. What was it called?
The Magic School Bus or something?
Originally, I hate that one. Magic School Bus, because you read the books to your kids and they're like, they take an hour and a half just to read the book. And you're like, you were supposed to be in bed 90 minutes ago. Yeah, it's terrible. Anyway. So originally when Jason brought up the Magic Castle, we were talking about getting into Club 33, which is like a very hard to get to exclusive Disney restaurant out in Disneyland. And you have to be a member or know a member. And of course, Jason knows everyone. So you're trying to get in there. And he said to me, well, Steve was in Paris. He was like, look, you know, I can't get you in to Club 33, but I can get you into the Magic Castle. And I was like, well, what's that? And he explains it's this incredibly exclusive magic, you know, place where people do magic and they have real magicians and it's very fancy schmancy and you have to wear like a cocktail dress or something. And I was like, yeah, that sounds really lame. And so I told Steve, I am Steve while he was in Paris and he was like, no way. I mean, he was really excited. So I was like, oh God, we're going to have to go.
I opted out.
You
should have totally
went.
Did.
You
she totally
went,
did.
Lauren.
And Jason told me to tell you that you're no longer his favorite.
I'm the nice one.
I know. But apparently you have to like magic as well as being nice. So
my biggest downfall, I guess.
I said I would go. And of course, Lisa went because, you know, she's married to Steve and has no choice. And it ended up being the best thing ever.
It was. Sharpie, it was amazing.
It was.
So describe the atmosphere.
So Well, first off, it's in Hollywood, and if you're going to drive there, traffic is ridiculous. So
that's one of the reasons I opted out.
Leave very early, because we left at 4:30 and we got there at 6:30. So it took us 2 hours, and our reservation was at 6. So you got to be on the freeway at 4, which, of course, Jason told us. But by the time we got the rental car and everybody got in, it was 4:30. So, but you pull up, and it's on top of this big hill. So you just kind of see the sign at the bottom, and you go up this really steep hill. And then all of a sudden, you're like, holy cow. It's like this old, like, Victorian mansion up on top of this hill. And instantly you're like, wow, we're underdressed, because you see everybody all dressed up.
I would like to say that I wasn't underdressed.
Yes. I had coat and tie is mandatory, and then women, it's dresses or...
like a cocktail dress.
Yeah.
A cocktail dress, maybe. You know, when we got in there, we saw that it was a variety. People were wearing things anywhere from, like, church kind of clothes to, like, long dresses. But everyone had on black. That was the other thing. We were like, what? And the really awesome thing was, like, they had these magicians who were members, and they would be walking around. You could tell they were, you know, Jason said, oh, they have a little gold pin. But I didn't need to see a gold pin, because they all had that magician face on. They were very serious, and they were staring intently.
Mm-hmm.
There was, like, you have to admit, they were all walking around like that. It was kind of scary.
It's the whole inside of it's super cool too, because you walk into this, like, parlor, and it's got it's like an old library with a bunch of books on the shelves, and there's a little like owl statue with red eyes, and you have to walk up to the owl statue. And what did you have to say, Chris?
What did I say? I don't remember.
I don't know. You have to say a magic word.
Oh, abracadabra?
It was either that or open sesame.
That was kind of corny, but then you go in and, like, everything's beautiful. It's like the dark wood paneling, and it's very elegant. It looks kind of, I don't know. It's like very old fashioned, and it was beautiful inside. And then you went around to these, well, first you ate, and the food was decent. I mean, actually my steak was pretty good.
It's like prime rib and ribeyes and fillets and...
like the kind of food that anyone can eat.
And it's, and there's a bunch of magic memorabilia on the walls, and, like Chris said, dark wood. And I don't know, it's just got a cool vibe to it.
They have, you know, wine. We ordered a bottle of wine. It wasn't good.
So it took you 2 hours to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. Well, because the traffic was really bad.
It was like you just crawl on the interstate the entire way. So as long as you left... you know, because we had a 6 o'clock reservation, so you're driving during rush hour from Anaheim to Hollywood. So,
yeah,
it's time consuming to begin.
But it was fine. You know, it turned out we made it in time for all the shows. We got to see all the shows that we wanted to see, because they had, you go from show to show to show, and one's in a big room, and then there are smaller shows, and they were really fun.
Yeah, it's cool. So you do like a big stage show, and when I say big, I'm talking what, maybe 200 people in there, 100 people?
Yes.
And
I'm still wondering
who
Michael Tannenbaum is, because I want to boycott whatever show he's on. Apparently, there was some kid who just got a CBS show,
and he was,
and his
audience.
Friends were there, and they kept shouting his name out, and I was like, shut up.
Yes. But we did, each show, like Chris said, there's like three acts in the one show, and then you go to a different auditorium for a different stage show, and then there's a close-up magic room that holds maybe 20 people. It's like a little parlor that's really cool and quaint. And then there's a bar that has bar magic. And then, and it's like a maze in there. You go down all these little staircases and into all these different little rooms. So it's super cool just walking around from different place to different place in this mansion. And then in the basement, what did they have in the basement, Chris? Do you remember from the Haunted Mansion?
Oh, they had... they had just, you know, like a plaque out there, and they had like a little, they had the mock-up that had been originally shown to Walt Disney of what I think the ballroom scene was supposed to be, but it's much different than what they have there.
Yeah.
But it was kind of fun to see it.
Yeah, so they had the original Pepper's Ghosts mock-up that somebody had created to show Walt Disney World how the ballroom scene would work. And it's a working mock-up, so when you press the button, it does the lighting on the little models behind to show them, you know, to show their reflections in the in the ballroom so you can see how it works. But it's super cool. If you can go, you should go. It's pretty, it's a lot of fun.
It was one of those things, and you said beforehand, you're like, oh, you always hate new stuff, and then we do it, and you love it. And this was exactly the case here, where, you know, I thought I was going to hate it, and I loved it. And I hate to say it, I think it was the highlight of my entire trip. So,
it was and you can't take any photos in there.
You can't. You can take any pictures at all. Because Steve kept wanting to take pictures of his food.
Well, there's so many cool things that you want to take a picture of, and you can't. You can take a picture outside, and they have like a little place you can stand behind a little velvet rope, and that's it. So you're like, oh, I want to take videos.
It was super fun. I want to go back.
It's and they have all different. You know, each night is different magicians. They you know, they bring in all kinds of different magicians to do their acts.
And none of they were all good. Like none of them were duds, except the first lady. She wasn't very good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good. If you ever get a chance to go, or if you know Jason Cram, hit Jason Cram up. Jason, thank you so much. I mean, we could not have imagined how much fun it was. I know Steve knew, in all seriousness, you know, Steve knew what it was and everything. But I think Lisa and I were kind of like, yes, you know, kind of indulging him. But we all ended up loving it. So,
and I hope you still love me, Jason.
No, he told us while we were there, he was writing you out of his will. He was like, you know what? I don't like her at all. And I'm like, you have no idea what it's like to room with her.
It was.
Yes. And I didn't tell him any of your secrets, but you know.
He did. He was like, he pulled out a dove out of his coat, and then he pulled out a copy of his will, and then all of a sudden it just went up in flames.
They did. Yeah, because Jason's a magician too. He actually I said, can you tell me how this works? He said, yeah, as soon as they're done. By the time they were done, I did not want to know. So
it was very cool
because it was awesome.
So yeah, if you ever get a chance to go to the Magic Castle, you should go. So on to Disneyland. So we stayed the night in two of the on-site Disney resorts, and we toured Paradise Pier, and we've also stayed at Paradise Pier before. But let's start with the Disneyland hotel. Lauren, what did you think of Disneyland Hotel? What are your favorite things about staying at that resort?
You know what? I love everything except the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
At Disneyland Resort. I wish the Disneyland Resort was actually where Grand Californian was, but with two sinks.
I think you're right.
That would be ideal because I absolutely love the Disneyland Resort. I love the quick service, the, what is it, Tortuga Tavern?
Mm-hmm.
Best quick service, I think, in all of Disneyland. Personally, that grilled chicken sandwich was amazing. It's got a great pool. It's got great sit-down restaurants. It's got a lot of options for quick service. The rooms are nice. The staff is great. Love that Goofy's in there's different characters like Goofy and stuff in the lobby. I just love, love, love that resort. I also love Trader Sam's, but I hate the bathroom, and I wish it was closer to the park.
Yeah.
Because it's really not even close to the monorail.
No, it's not far, but it's just so that Grand California is so appealing just because it's right there.
You like, know, it's definitely just so a spoiler. Easy.
Hey, Sharpie, in our training, they actually talked about if someone says, I want the resort that's on the monorail, it's somebody who was there originally because that resort actually was on the monorail when it first opened because it used to sprawl all the way out to the monorail station. It used to go all the way out there, and then they showed us the photo. And then now it's all been redone, so it's all of that Downtown Disney is where part of the Disneyland Hotel used to be.
I think they all have...
doesn't do that anymore.
Oh, I know.
I think they all have huge advantages. I mean, I love the location and the way Grand Californian looks. I don't like the price. To me,
love that resort.
Oh, no, that's my favorite. I am not crazy about Disneyland Hotel.
Really? So
No.
We need to get a divorce.
I know.
It seemed like a lot of people that we were with really liked the Disneyland Hotel. And I think, like Lauren said.
That's because it was near Trader Sam's and they were drinking every night.
Well, that's
another
advantage, yes.
Where's my appeal then?
I know, and I don't understand how you could have loved that with the sink situation being so awful.
That was the part I hated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the Disneyland Hotel, the Grand Californian is the only one that has split bathrooms, correct?
This had a split bathroom. So you had your little sink, you had your teeny little sink and your teeny little closet, and then you had a toilet across the hall. You had a toilet, bathtub, shower combo.
Oh, you're right. It's Paradise Pier that I'm thinking of that doesn't have a split bath.
You know what? But that's a substantially large bathroom, and some of the toilets are in the little closets too. So you have a little bit of space there.
We had
a situation where we had connecting rooms, so we opened up the doors and we still
didn't utilize it all.
I know, because we were all like, me, Lisa, and you were at the sink. God knows where Steve was. We're all like trying
to
do our
hair. He was probably ready to jump out a window.
I don't know how he puts up with three women all the time. But
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, even with that open door, and the door opened in the bathroom where the sink was.
Yes.
Which made it feel bigger.
It did.
But like literally, I couldn't do something while Chris was doing something.
Mm-mm.
Like we could not both work in there. It was too small.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, because we would try to work in the room and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go outside while you do your call and I'll do my call, because we just couldn't. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I like the hall, or the lobby in the Grand Californian, like 10 times better, because it's huge.
Pretty. It's
beautiful. It's like Wilderness Lodge grew up and got fancy.
Yes.
See, but I like Wilderness Lodge better.
I don't, and I certainly don't like the rooms better.
I feel like Wilderness Lodge is just a little bit more cozy.
Yeah, Wilderness Lodge, Animal Kingdom Lodge, and the Grand Californian all had the same architect.
Yeah. Well, they're all nice. I mean, Paradise Pier is kind of eh, you know.
I like the view.
Yeah, the view's nice. That would be the advantage of that resort.
Well, I think, so to recap, Disneyland, I think the advantages there are, the rooms are newly remodeled. But like you said, the disadvantage is that teeny sink. So there's very little area.
Yeah.
It's right where the closet is. And then on the other side is where the toilet and shower is. And the rooms are a tad smaller than like Paradise Pier. But your advantages are, like you said, that quick service. You have Trader Sam's, which is a lot of fun. You have that tropical feel where everything's enclosed. You have this magnificent pool that you're always walking by. And then you're slightly farther away. Not that any of the hotels are really far compared to Disney World, but you get spoiled the closer you are to being able to walk.
Yeah, you're right.
So Disneyland is the farthest walk, but compared to Disney World, it's not that bad. And you can walk to the monorail if you wanted and then hop on. And then Grand Californian, it's the only one that I like that has because it's more like a Disney World hotel. So it has that magnificent lobby, because you can't hang out in the lobby really at Paradise Pier or the Disneyland Hotel.
No.
It's kind of a check-in.
Yeah, they both they're very utilitarian spaces.
Yeah.
It would be really awkward, especially at Paradise Pier, because there's really not even a lobby there.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas at Disneyland Hotel, at least you have that nice outdoor area with the fireplace and everything. Unfortunately, that's where everyone smokes. So you're like, you know.
Yeah. But so your best for the lobby is definitely Grand Californian, where you have that, you have a nice indoor bar. You have the fireplace there. There's also a fireplace outside. You have a pool, but I think, Lauren, you said you like the pool better, or at least the layout of the pool better over at the Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah, I actually went down to the pool at Grand Californian. I did not love the pool area down there. There was not a lot of seating. It was very shaded, which if you're somebody who doesn't love the sun, not me, then you're going to be okay with that scenario. But if you're going down there to like lay in the sun and kind of swim and relax, it's very shaded. Not a ton of chairs. I didn't love the whole layout of the pool down there.
See, our best pool day ever was at the Grand Californian.
I love the pool there.
Oh, see, we were under an umbrella. I mean, that was because
find a spot without an umbrella.
Yeah, we were there in August. And I mean, I have never seen pool loungers at any other hotel. Like literally it was like a mattress on a pool lounger. It was amazing.
Yeah, the loungers were very comfortable. But I still like the pool better at Disneyland.
Yeah, that's got a very nice tropical feel. And it's got those cool slides if you have kids. And
yep.
It's kind of broken up. And then Paradise Pier advantage, I think, is also is close, so it's a decent location. You got to walk across the street, and it's got those amazing views. But it's more of a budget kind of feel.
I mean, budget is sort of...
Yeah, we're trying to get a hotel room there, a nature room. Yes.
Oh, I know. It's expensive.
$400? Yeah.
Yep. Wow.
That's an agent rate.
Wow.
Yeah.
In November.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing.
It's crazy.
Maybe we need to stay at the Menage.
Well, that's a good other point. So we actually went, and so we stayed at all the hotels this time except for Paradise Pier, and we did tour Paradise Pier, and we've stayed before. So if you do have any questions or you're planning a Disneyland trip, you can call any of us over at Pixie Vacations and we can help you through it and book them for you. But while we were also there, we wanted to see the offsite hotels, the Good Neighbor Disneyland hotels, and we can also book those. And we saw, I think, 4.
Yes.
So you guys want to go through which ones you liked and...
Oh, can I cover the Menage?
Yeah, and then we'll chime in.
So Steve's right. They showed us 4 hotels, and there are 39 Good Neighbor hotels, which means they meet certain criteria. So Disney allows them to be booked through the Disney engine, and you can buy tickets and all that. And presumably you can trust them. So the very nice lady who did our tour, she could only show us 4 because, you know, there's not that much time. So the first one she showed us was called the Menage. And the name
speaks for itself.
Yes. And the thing is, you know, we kind of felt like all of us immediately felt bad for the guy who was managing the place because he was like, you know, because they want us to like them, you know. So he comes out and he's very nice and he's offering us bottles of water and then he shows us around. And you knew you were in trouble when he took you to this ratty looking fitness center and it just went downhill from there. And the rooms kind of look like a guy with really bad taste got a hold of a bucket of paint and some carpet from Home Depot. I mean, they were just all brown and they weren't great.
The suite wasn't bad.
The suite wasn't bad.
But it was definitely cheap.
But it also wasn't cheap. Good.
You know, the problem is...
I mean, it was
yeah, when
was
you're
not...
saying a place isn't bad, that's never a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad saying this. They had music playing, like pop music playing in the background, which he told us proudly they turn off at 9 o'clock every night. And immediately I got a flashback to Hard Rock Hotel, you know, the ones at Universal, which I'm not a big fan of. And I've sent people there and every one of them has complained that they didn't like the music in the hallways, you know, and this was kind of the vibe they were going. It was outdoor.
They're going
hallways.
For that edgy modern, yeah. but they've taken like an old Best Western, which is what a lot of these things are that are older around offsite and they've cleaned them up. You know, so they have, you know, the outdoor, where you know, there's no indoor hallway. You're just entering the rooms from outside, right. And they've repainted the hotel.
Which, when you stay in a Disney hotel, is okay.
Yeah, it's, you know, so like a value at a Disney hotel, but those are kept up nicer, I think, than
yes.
this was.
Yeah, there were cigarette butts in the stairs. It was
a dump. I mean, let's be honest, it was a dump.
They were
and for
super
the price,
nice there, though.
They were so friendly, nice. But you know what? So's the homeless guy with goiter on the corner.
Yes. Mm. Well, so. They were very nice, and they're very accommodating. But the property is not the greatest.
Right.
The pool is open 24 hours, which is a plus and minus if you're obviously if you're
yeah, if you have a room by the pool, yeah. That's not necessarily where you
are. Another drowning.
Wait. You can either have the room overlooking the pool or the highway.
Yeah, and a lot of these hotels are right on the 5.
Both are such attractive options.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was not good, Sharpie. Don't send anyone to the Menage.
Yeah. I mean, it's just
And the name is stupid.
And not only that, but the name just keeps making me think things. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I immediately go to that place where I shouldn't.
I know.
But I am. I'm there.
It involves trois.
Exactly.
You know what, though?
At all.
That word itself has no negative connotations, but for Americans, it kind of does. Every single person went there in their heads. Some people went there out loud, but, you know, yeah.
But everyone went there.
Yeah. Yep. And I mean, the night, well, maybe not. We had one girl with us. I'm sure she did not, because she's very sweet. But the rest of us did. The other ones they showed us were fantastic, though. That Westin, the last one, was really nice. They showed us rooms with suites, with bunk beds. I mean, it was very nice.
Here's the thing, though. When you look at the price, the ticket price on the Westin one, you can stay on property for just about the same price.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you? Like, I would rather stay really close to everything and be right in the middle of it for the same price as staying off. And that one was off property and it wasn't that close.
That Westin was really, really expensive.
Yeah, that was the deluxe hotel they showed us. And it was nice, but like you said, it's off property. They all have, like, we took the art shuttle to everything, so we know how that works, and that's very reasonable. And you can add that to a Disneyland package, I think, for like $60 for the length of stay. So that's reasonable. But yeah, that was a very nice property, but it's if it's the same price of staying on property, I would definitely stay on property. Or if it's just slightly more, I would pay the difference and stay on property.
Me too. And I think it was similar pricing. I don't think it was less.
Yeah, then I would always go for on property versus off if it was the same price.
And pretty much something that you're going to have to remember at all of the Disneyland hotels, you're going to pay for parking.
Yeah. And you're paying for parking at most of these, I think, as well on the off sites because they're around the convention.
Just so everybody knows, that last one that we're just talking about is the Wyndham.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so the Wyndham was the premier, and then we saw a couple different Marriotts.
Yeah, we saw, I have them right here, the Residence Inn Marriott. And then we also saw, where's the other one? The Courtyard Marriott.
And both of those were nice. And they were reasonably priced. And if you go to like any Marriott property, you kind of know what to expect.
The Courtyard Marriott had that nice little kind of suite with the bunk beds.
Yeah.
That was cute.
And it had the pocket door. That was nice.
Yeah.
And those are also available just on the art, so you can go and take that to Disney, or you could walk on some of these.
Yeah, some of them
you
can walk from.
We went by the and there were reasons, you know, they were like 180 to low twos, I think, a night at both of those. You know, depending on the time of year and what size room you got. One of them did your grocery shopping at no cost if you wanted.
Yeah.
You would bring in it. Maybe that was the Residence Inn because it had the small...
It was the Residence Inn.
The kitchen. So they'll go and get groceries for you. Just give them the list and they'll stock it up for you at no additional cost, just the cost of the groceries. So that's nice. And they're clean, nice rooms. And then we drove by the Annabella, right? And we actually walked by the Annabella because one day we walked to the CVS from our Disneyland hotel. And it, you know, you just go out, take a left and a left again, and it's right there by the convention center. So there's a lot of stuff that's very close. And you could walk from a lot of these Good Neighbor hotels if you wanted to. If you're used to Disney World and used to walking, then it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I've had clients stay at the Annabella before and they really enjoyed it.
Now, we did see the Howard... What did we see? The Howard Johnson?
That Howard horrible.
Now, we didn't go in, but we drove by it because we've always heard about the water park and how great this water park is. And it just looked like... I don't know what it looked like.
It did not look good.
It's like a little mushroom thing and a teeny little pirate ship that had been there forever in front of a small Howard Johnson. Yeah. And they are adding hotels like crazy off property. So right next to that was another.
There's a couple hotels that are going in that are going to be.
It was a Marriott.
There was another Marriott
across from there
that they had just finished and was just opening that had its own water park. And then there was also a Marriott Residence Inn above the CVS that we walked to.
A Fairfield Inn.
Or Fairfield Inn.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot. And then they were building a new Hyatt hotel. They're building a Great Wolf Lodge.
Yeah, two or three of them are going to have like water parks included in it.
Which, depending on price, I don't know. Because I would want to spend my time at Disneyland and not spend $400 to stay in a hotel with a water park that I'm very hardly going to use. So,
and frankly, an indoor water park? Really?
Yeah, so we're not sure how the Great Wolf Lodge is going to do. Because why would you spend
in the midst of California's water crisis, they're building a water park.
Good point. Yeah.
I know.
Right. And you know what? Everyone was talking about it while we were out there. And as soon as we left, it started raining. So we apologize to Bob, who used to be on the show, and Stacy, who are out there, because apparently they're getting rained out. So.
Hey, Sharpie, they have those little spinning shower heads in all three resorts now.
What's the deal with those?
Oh, they're horrible. Because because I think it's because of the water issues. So.
Does that help?
It's so small.
They restrict the flow.
It's like someone's just barely drizzling water on you.
You know what? I felt like the water pressure was fine in our room.
It was weird. They have those rotating shower heads.
Yeah. They're in all the resorts because they're like Sharpie said, they restrict the water flow, but then they're like, well, let's try to trick them to make them think it's something fancy.
Do you know what? That's exactly what I thought. I thought it was something special.
No.
I thought we were special.
Let's make the little thing that barely squirts out water spin.
I thought it was just
entertained me, so it worked.
I had no idea.
See, I envisioned
Look at the spinny thing.
I envisioned something off of Mad Men. Like some guy is sitting at the beach one day and just envisions a spinning water shower head and thinks this is the next big idea. But no.
Yeah.
They're horrible.
They're pretty horrible. Because I came home and I've got like the giant rain shower head and I was like, oh. Like gallon after gallon just pouring out of it. I feel bad, but yes. So that's anything else on the hotels? So next, do we want to go into dining reviews?
Yes.
Sure. Where'd we eat?
We ate so many different places.
Yeah, we ate some good food.
Yes. And I always say that the quick service out there is better than at Walt Disney World, and I think this time kind of proved that.
You know, I have to be honest. The last time I went, I really struggled with finding things to eat there. Not this time.
Yeah. So the first one you said was at Disneyland, Lauren, which you liked, which is the...
My favorite quick service?
Yeah.
My favorite quick service was that Tortuga Tavern.
Yeah. So you had the really chicken sandwich, which was good. I had a chicken sandwich also after you had it, and that was great. And you can get the sweet potato fries.
Which are yummy.
I had the barbecue sandwich once or twice, and that was awesome. And then I had the salad that was amazing. And then everything else, they had a tuna, ahi tuna thing that looked awesome, too, that some of the people with us had. But it just was too small. I was like, I need like six of those. So I skipped that.
It was tiny. But my salad was massive. And
fried tofu salad. Yum, yum.
So let me just say that I hate salads. Like, I am not a person who can... Like, a salad... with something else is fine, but I don't care how much you put on a salad. If that's my entree, I don't want it. So, but we got in and I was like not very hungry. And so they had this tofu salad and it was like a regular salad with kale and this, that, and the other. It was totally vegan. But then they had this wonderful tofu and it was fried. And you know, Lisa, she's a little picky. She liked it. Lauren's picky. Lauren liked it. Everybody liked the tofu except for Steve, who didn't have any. So. Was yummy.
It was really good.
Yep. And then that night we went to Steakhouse 55, which is
that was really good.
So good.
That was really good. That was probably one of my favorite meals. And not because I got free stuff.
You did. You got like $30 worth of free food. What's the deal with that?
It's the boobs.
Okay.
No, it was really good though.
So Steakhouse 55, we had everything from the ribeye, bone-in ribeye, which I thought was really good. And if you want a steak that's got some flavor, that's great. And it was less than the Boathouse that Chris Wood reviewed a couple weeks ago.
It was a lot less.
Yeah, it was like in the 40s instead of $52, $55 for the ribeye. And then the fillets are good. We had those as well. I had some like lobster bisque ravioli soup.
Okay, that was really good. I tried Chris's.
Oh, it was awesome.
Did you have the lobster bisque soup? It was so good.
It had a little bit of caviar on top in there.
Yeah, see, they used to serve that at Cinderella's Royal Table.
No, there's no comparison.
Wait, this is like, wait, they served real food at Cinderella's Royal Table at one point?
I'm telling you, they served a seafood bisque with caviar on top.
This was really amazing. They had like a little ravioli, a little homemade ravioli stuffed with lobster. And then they came out and that's all they had in the bowl. And then they, you know, made a little bit of an elaborate show of pouring your soup on it. And then they popped a little caviar on it. And, you know, caviar is here and there. You know, it's kind of strong. And, ooh, this was so good in the soup. Like, I could have eaten just that. It was yummy. And we also had interesting people sitting next to us. They were so incredibly funny. So that was kind of fun. We, you know, it's Disney, so you end up talking to strangers like you normally wouldn't.
Yeah, we were hoping they were going to order dessert because we were ahead of us so we could see. Because they had a ton of really great desserts. And it's the 60th anniversary, the diamond anniversary. So they did have a diamond dessert that we ordered and we shared between us.
It was like a banana pudding cake with a chocolate diamond and then they poured chocolate on top of it. So it was good. All four of us ate it. I think Steve and Lisa kind of bowed out and let Lauren and I devour it. So it was good.
Thank God.
I mean,
we probably would have bit them if not.
I know. Well, and the steaks were cooked properly. The sides were amazing. Lauren and I shared this potato thing.
That was
fantastic.
That was good. And we ate all of it.
Yeah. I mean, all of it was, really, really good food. So if you're going to Disneyland and you're not up for maybe more higher end kind of fancy food like they have at Napa Rose, which is their other super nice restaurant, check out Steakhouse 55.
Yeah, it's great. We've been, I think, maybe one other time.
Yes.
It's just really nice atmosphere, great service. Mm-hmm. It's right there at the Disneyland Hotel, so it's easy to get to.
And it's dressy. I would say it's dressier than like California Grill or anything like that at World. It's a little more fancy schmancy. And it's very pretty inside. We also ate at Carthay Circle.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
That was good.
Yes.
Although, I don't know. $24 for a hamburger is a little pricey.
Okay. Two things I have to say about that. One, this time my burger wasn't fantastic, although every other time I've eaten there, I've had amazing food. And two, they put us out in the like patio. It was like an indoor patio area, sun porch kind of deal.
Yeah, sunroom.
And the reason you go to Carthay Circle is to sit in that fantastic, beautiful dining room. And Right. And I've eaten there half a dozen times at this point. I have never sat in that area we were in. So when they walked us back there, I just felt my happiness level go, you know, it's like, come on. Mm-hmm. I want to sit. And there was plenty of room in there. But the food is really good. We had the cheese and bacon biscuits, which aren't any kind of biscuit you have ever seen, but they're still good.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah, they're more like a deep fried ball of something or other.
It reminds me of a jalapeno popper without the jalapeno.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Steve had what is my favorite dish there, which is the shrimp over, it's like a Thai curry sauce. Did you like that?
Yeah, it was like a fried shrimp and there was like four or six of them and they were huge. So it was just the right amount plus, you know, the bread that came and a drink. And
there was rice with it.
And it's a nice way to escape the amusement park and go to a really high-end, classy restaurant and break up the day, get out of the heat. And normally it's pretty easy to get in there.
Right.
It's a great option for lunch or for dinner.
And we did run into our friends from Dibcast there.
Yes. We kept running into them.
I think they were following us.
They totally were following us. So if you don't know, Dibcast is a podcast from the UK, and we've been guests on their show before, and they're wonderful, and we loved hanging out with them. They're sweet. So
yeah, they're very sweet.
Sharpie, what were you going to say?
So July in Southern California, what's the temperature?
It was pleasant, yeah.
It's pretty amazing. It's like it's 70s to low 80s.
And at night it drops to like 65.
It's
cold
at night.
Lightweight sweater.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Well, and you know what's different there? The sun almost seems stronger there. It's not as hot, but the sun is just beating down and everyone pretty much got a burn.
And it's, I think it's because there's no humidity.
Yes.
Because the sun is very deceiving out there.
Yeah,
well, and here's the interesting thing. The temperature there was the exact same temperature as it was here in Jersey, But it was so much nicer there because the humidity in Jersey is disgusting right now.
Yeah.
Like, I got off the plane and I went out, you know, I got my bags and I went outside and it was like being hit with a ton of bricks. I was like, oh, you know, and I just, and it was the same temperature as California.
Oh, yeah, and speaking of Lauren, of getting off the plane, we have a special guest.
Hello.
Hello.
Nice segue, Steve.
How's everyone doing?
How on earth did you get those kids in there without making noise?
I know. Well, we put duct tape on them when they walked in the house.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Are the kids still in the car, Lisa?
Yes. Threatened within an inch of their life. Don't move. Podcast.
Yes.
You made it home.
I did.
Yes. And we're enjoying, for everyone, we're enjoying some little Chick-fil-A while we're recording. So.
Nice. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm hungry. Thanks.
Wait, you didn't make a special meal, Steve, for welcoming them back? No.
They actually brought Chick-fil-A back for me.
I'm really disappointed.
I know.
You should have been cooking.
But, yeah, I think Carthay Circle is great. But it's, you know, the $27 for a hamburger. So it depends on, I guess, what you order and what they've got going on. And
Carthay Circle is table service, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there's some amazing rooms in there. There's a room, and we'll get into it because we were going to also talk about VIP tours at Disneyland. And we had a guide who there's like a private little room off to the side of that main room that has some really cool Walt Disney photos. I think it has his first photo and his last photo.
First photo with Mickey Mouse, last photo with Mickey Mouse.
So on one side of the dining room has both of those photos.
And I saw them kind of at a glance because I stuck my head in. And it was, but like the first photo was some really old looking plush. And the last one was, I think it was a character. But it was pretty cool.
So where do you want to go next on our dining tour around Disneyland?
Could we talk about the saddest dining experience we had?
Which would be what?
That would be Storyteller's Cafe.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
So, Lauren, tell us how difficult it was to get a reservation for that place.
Okay, so Lisa and I made a reservation for what time, Lisa? 8:30 or whatever it was originally?
8:10.
Yeah.
Close enough.
A.M. So, or P.M.?
A.M.
Okay.
For breakfast, for breakfast. So, Lisa, we had a change in our schedule, so Lisa wanted to make it an earlier reservation at 7:30, Lisa?
I tried for 7:30. I would take anything close to that.
So she goes on. I was away, so she goes on to try to change the reservation time, and it's sold out. You can't get anything. So she had to call, and she had to fight for a reservation. So we get to the reservation, and we are like one of three people in the whole place.
There were three parties in there.
That was it. There was nobody else. And this place is huge.
The characters were like playing peekaboo with us because they had nothing to do.
Nothing to do. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was
and
a ghost town.
And I do have to say that is a sorry character breakfast.
See, we had a really good experience there when we did a character breakfast there. Okay. But it was such an odd assortment of characters.
Yes. It's characters, unfortunately,
they're
from
fun.
The Disney movies that tie in well with the Grand Californian, but nobody knows or remembers any of these characters.
Yeah.
Like,
so
okay,
they have Chip and Dale,
yes,
and that works well.
That's it, yes.
I love them.
I was very pleased to see Miko. I love Miko.
Yeah, we were really excited to see Miko as well.
But then they had Brother Bear, which you really need to be a fan. It fits so well, but if you don't know, you think it's just a bear. And then they had Big Brother Bear, I think it is, the older guy.
Yeah, we kept trying to get the bears to eat the raccoon.
Oh, please.
For photo
you
got to
entertain yourself somehow.
Yeah, but... And then there's the random guy carrying two fake salmon running around in there with the bear.
That sounds a little fishy.
Yes.
But...
And I can't... I mean, the breakfast, it wasn't memorable for me, so I'm not sure if there was anything phenomenal.
The food is good. The food is good. It's healthy. It's a little fresher than I think you get at a Disney breakfast buffet.
Yeah, the
buffet.
Food was good.
But yeah, it was sad. The guy with the fish
sad.
Walking around just depressed me. Like, yeah. He knows he's going to be. But you know what? I got the same vibe from Ariel's, which is the princess breakfast they have in Disney California Adventure. It wasn't that full. You know, and we didn't do this time. I've done this with the kids, though. It was I don't know. It just wasn't good. So.
When you said we were going to talk about our worst meal, I actually didn't go to Storytellers. I was going to the Wharf, Pacific Wharf Cafe.
Get out.
Yeah. It was not a good meal.
This is the one you were waiting for, right?
That was the one thing I was looking forward to. And it was disappointing.
Huh. Steve and I had Mexican.
Yeah, you guys cheated.
Yeah, well, we just felt, you know, you guys are waiting and his tummy was hurting and I didn't want the soup and a bowl of bread. So I was like,
Yeah, normally that's pretty good.
The what?
Normally those bread bowls, you know, they make the bread there.
For some reason, just the smell of the bread was just really not appealing to me. So, and then I started talking to this strange man, and he said, get the chicken over at the Mexican place. So I did.
Mm-hmm. And then,
see, that sounds like a total setup. Get the chicken over at the Mexican place.
Do you know what?
Strange man informed me about the chicken at the
Mexican place. Do I not tell everyone that I'm antisocial? And then when I go into a park, am I not the person who's talking to every single person around? It's just this weird thing. So, yes, he did. He said, get the chicken.
I think it's just that we don't let you out a lot. So when we do let you out, you'll talk to anybody.
I get excited. Yes. I'm stuck in my pink office right now. I'll be here for days. So I'm going to take advantage of it when I can.
Yeah. It was everybody in our group got a lot of them got those, you know, soup bowls and a lot of them just kind of picked at them.
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
Yeah. I remember last time I went eating like all the soup and the entire thing.
Yeah, see, that's the way it was when we went. It was delicious.
It was very watery. It could have just been a bad batch, but it was watery.
It wasn't.
I remember I had
flavor.
The cheddar broccoli soup, and it was amazing.
That's what I had. And it wasn't. And I was a little disappointed because I got my soup separate from my bread just so the bread wouldn't get soppy and I'd lose half my soup to the bread.
See, that's the point, Lisa.
I know, but just let me have it.
So then we also went over to Cars Land, and there's two different restaurants we tried over there. Flo's V8 Cafe, which
that
is a quick
good.
Service.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so we did that for breakfast.
Oh, I didn't do that one. Never mind.
Oh, that's right. You weren't there. Oh, this was at, how was Lauren not there?
She flew back. We stayed a little later.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And we stayed a little later.
Yeah, that was on Saturday, or whatever day we left.
And there's a lot of little dining rooms that I didn't even realize were in there because we always ended up going to the right. And off to the left, you can see the whole Cars Raider Spring Racers attraction. And you get this really nice view while you have breakfast. Of course, I had that French toast, like creme brulee.
Creme brulee with the caramel and
caramels
banana.
And bananas. Oh, God.
It was so good.
It's like dessert for breakfast.
Do you know what, though? You can't eat the whole thing. It's so heavy.
Yeah, so I ate maybe half or three quarters, and then everyone else kind of looked like traditional type breakfast.
I had the tamales, the chicken tamales with eggs. It was really good.
Mine was traditional.
Yeah, so that's nice. And then
I had bacon, eggs, and hash browns. Mm-hmm. Oh, and a biscuit. Yeah. The biscuit was good.
And then across the way are those cozy cones. And one day for lunch, we had you get like a bread cone type thing, and I had mine filled with barbecue.
They have like the chili cone queso.
Okay, that was really good.
I thought mine was disgusting. The barbecue was like straight from a can.
I got the chicken verde
in a cone, and it was one of the better things I've had. I mean, it's go back and get another one good.
Yeah, I didn't like it. But then I thought the cone was kind of disgusting. I don't really want to eat meat in a cone, you know?
So, like, what kind of cone?
It's like a bread cone.
Do you know what? It's like they took, it is made out of bread. It's almost like a cross between bread and a cracker, you know, because it's tough.
Well, it's almost like, you know, like the, not a biscuit, but like, you know, the cans that you can do like crescent rolls or biscuits with?
No, you know what it is?
It reminds
me
of that.
It's like a bagel thin. Like the bagel thins. Have you had those before?
No.
They're like, yeah.
It's kind of, you know,
that's interesting.
It's sturdy enough to hold on to it, but, you know, but not hard like an ice cream cone.
It was sturdy enough.
And it's thicker.
And it didn't leak. And you could, I mean, it was like soup inside.
And you can eat it.
Gross. And I did end up eating it because I was just hungry because I eat everything. But I thought that wasn't really the focus. And
yeah,
really,
I didn't eat that.
Really enjoyed my chicken verde.
And then we have.
I like mine.
Did we have any more dining? I know we wanted to touch real quick on. We do?
The cute, adorable Blue Bayou.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. Can I start this one?
Go ahead.
Start it off on a great note.
Okay. I love this place. I really do. And I like it because it's in a ride. And the ride it's in is on Pirates of the Caribbean. And so, if you've been in the Mexico ride in Mexico and Epcot, you kind of get the same sort of idea. You know, it's the beginning of the ride. You go past a restaurant. Well, it's like that at Blue Bayou, but it's really super dark. And I thought the food was good. You know, I've never had a bad meal there. I had a really good steak, and my potatoes were super yummy. They were like these spicy au gratin potatoes. So, but it's really pretty in there. Okay, we did wait a while to be seated. I think that's where Lauren's going to go.
I thought that's where you were going to start.
That's where I was going to start.
No, you know what? I love eating there because I just think, first of all, New Orleans Square and Disneyland, it's probably my favorite land, although Cars Land is pretty good too. But of all the lands in any Disney park I've been in, I think it's number one. So everything there is kind of magical anyway. I hate to use that word, but it is. And then you get to go to this awesome restaurant and this fantastic ride. So they could probably give me like a can of tuna and some crackers and I'd be like, oh, this is so good. Anyway.
Yeah.
So.
It's like Chris said.
We would have saved a lot of money if we did that.
Amazing atmosphere.
Because
really
it's
good.
Expensive.
Yeah, really good food. If you go for lunch, they have a Monte Cristo sandwich. It's amazing. It's not on the dinner menu, though. And it's right in the Pirates Caribbean ride, like Chris said, so you can see all the boats go by, and it's dark. It's on this little swamp. But the issue was, and this happens sometimes at a lot of Disney restaurants, is, you know, you have a 5 o'clock reservation, and it's not, they're like nowhere close and seating you. And ours, we were there like an hour and 10 minutes. And the only reason after an hour and 10 minutes is we started saying what's going on. And then they had actually like taken us off of the list. And then I had to get a manager.
Yeah. They said they called us, but we're sitting there holding the buzzer and we hadn't gone anywhere.
And the buzzer hadn't gone off and we're standing there. And then when the manager came out, they're like, oh no, we just now had a table ready. You were never off the list. We never gave.
Yeah, they
table.
Lied.
Yeah, so that was not.
Well, and it was a little ridiculous because the supervisor that we got was on lunch, so she knew nothing of what was going on, and so she kept saying, we'd say, this happened. She said, well, I wasn't here, so I don't know. Well, then what good are you doing? Go right. Get someone who was here that can address our issues. I mean, it's fine. There's nothing they can do. Well, there is something they could do, but it's behind us, and I'm over it.
Well, and I have to say the food was great.
Yeah, the food's great.
The
service
is great.
The
food is great. Mm-hmm. The waitress was great. Like, everything was great. It was just that opening experience. It just stressed me out. And it also kind of set the tone for the rest of the night because we actually couldn't do certain things that we wanted to do after that.
Yeah.
Which stunk.
That is true because they gave us like four Universal Fast Passes and we couldn't really use them.
We didn't even
night.
Use them all.
Yeah.
We used them all.
Oh, okay.
Eventually.
So what's it like going back to paper fast passes?
You know,
awesome.
It would be nice, but we never went up to them because we were always doing stuff or just hanging out. So we never went and got one.
We didn't. Well, first of all, we had those four Universal ones, so we used those. The lines were not that bad. Like
considering it was super expensive.
Yes.
I mean, super busy because of the 60th.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, like on the day of the 60th, we went on Pirates, and it said it was a 20-minute wait, Steve?
Yeah, I think it said 20, but it was longer.
Yeah, I think we waited maybe 40 minutes, but even that wasn't that bad. When you compare wait times at Disney World, Mr. Toad's, we basically walked on after the fireworks one night. Same with Small World. We walked on, well, did we use, we had VIP for that. Okay. That's a whole nother story.
Yeah. So, and real quick on the VIP. So we did get a VIP tour guide. I guess they call them.
Thank you, Steve.
Plaids. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Steve. So
yes. Big time, thank you.
Well, yeah, and I mean, so we were, we should tell people that we were actually out there for training the first, what, 3 days? And then we stayed, the four of us stayed
3 days?
For two more days after that.
Okay.
But when we were out there for training, Steve and Lisa treated us to a wonderful VIP tour, which is like front of the line access. You can't beat it. So
it's like the world is at your fingertips. Like the, yes. the park is
literally.
At your
yeah. yeah. And he was really sweet. He was, his name was Philander. He was a very nice young man.
And he was the tour guide. He said for, not
Tom
Michael,
Staggs.
No, for, Bob Gurr. No.
No,
what am
Tom
I saying?
Staggs.
Not Bob Gurr.
Tom, no. Yeah, it was Tom Staggs.
Tom Staggs.
Tom Staggs? Well, he was also for the CEO.
Why can't really? I wow.
Yeah, every time.
I think it was Iger.
Bob Iger comes, he's the guy that takes him around.
He was really good. And he was just Disney enough, but he was also kind of lighthearted. And I don't know, he was a really good guy.
Yeah,
so he was.
He kind of let his guard down a little where you realize that he was a real person without being all Disney. And he was very knowledgeable.
I find that Disneyland cast members do that much quicker than Walt Disney World cast members.
That is absolutely true. But you know what was funny? He told us, and we should probably get back on the topic of the VIP, but he told us that that everyone tells him that Disneyland cast members are better than Disney World. I don't agree with that.
I would love to hear what everyone else thinks. Maybe we'll post it on Mouse Chat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Thank you.
But basically,
hey, wait, we have a source to find that out.
I know.
But they're basically your private guide for whatever you want to do. So if you want to just ride rides, or if you want to learn about Disney and or the hotels or whatever you want to do, you know, he can take you there and do it. So the next day we spent all day touring hotels because we were on training. So we were like, okay, we're just doing the parks and, you know, show us everything in the parks. So you get front of the line access. And how that works is if it's a fast pass attraction, then they take you through the fast pass queue. So you're still waiting in line, you know, in the fast pass line. So if there's a, you know, 5 minute fast pass line or whatever it is, you're still waiting there. If the attraction does not have a fast pass line, then they take you kind of through a back entrance to the front of the line to get on those attractions. And say, and they can get you into the shows so you don't have to wait in line for the show, and you can go see the show. And that,
yeah, they can have you
like Aladdin if you wanted to do that.
They make it really nice.
If you, and we did World of Color, and we also did Fantasmic. And you can pay for them to sit there at the show with you, like at those nighttime shows. Or what we did is, you know, our VIP tour ended, and he had set those shows up for us. So when we went there, our name was on a list, and we just, you know, gave them our name, and they let us into the VIP area. So you could show up, you know, right before the show starts. Fantasmic, actually, they have seats for you in a roped off area, and then World of Color, they have some benches depending on your VIP status. Or if you don't have that status, you're kind of standing behind the benches in a roped off VIP section,
which was us.
It's pretty far back for a VIP section.
And we should mention that Miley Cyrus was sitting in our VIP roped off area.
Yes, she was.
Not that we really cared, because she's Miley Cyrus and, you know, whatever. But she was there.
Mm-hmm.
Did she come in like a wrecking ball?
She totally came in like a wrecking ball. And I made that joke like 25 times and not one person laughed. I even
just
sang
so you know,
a tiny
if
bit.
If I had been there, I would have laughed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I even sang it a little bit, and everybody just ignored me and kept taking pictures of her surreptitiously. So.
But the VIP sections are nice. You get really good view of both shows from both of them. And you
I
can
thought
also
the spot for Fantasmic was better.
Yeah. Fantasmic was a good spot.
Yeah, it was.
World of Color, it's kind of, it's in the back, so it's easy to get into. And it's a good view because you can see the whole show. But it's a little, it's farther back. But at least that way you're not getting
I would
wet.
Do the dinner one before I did that again.
Yeah.
I thought the dinner ones are better.
Yeah. I just, you know what? I don't think we can say enough good things about Disneyland. But when it comes right down to it, it's extremely hard to get these Walt Disney World fans, and I was one of them, to go out to Disneyland. I mean, I only went to Disneyland the first time totally on a whim, and I didn't think I would even like it. But it's, I think I like it
Disney.
Better, to be honest. I kind of like it better. So
I don't like it better. I like it equally for different reasons.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
they both have I'm such great things.
Given everything being equal, if you told me the same price for both transportation, everything, I'd go to land. It's just so easy. I love walking out of my hotel and into.
Killer.
Yeah, I like. Well, and it's a little closer for me. How long is your flight? 6 hours?
5.5.
What is ours? 4.
Four. Yeah. 4.5.
Yeah. Hours. So it's not bad.
Yeah, it's a little bit longer flight. Oh, we wanted to, and then we're gonna wrap it up here in a minute. But we also wanted to cover. We have a question from Listener Corner.
Wait, I'm not done. I'm still talking.
Yeah.
No. I just wanted to point out one thing about the VIP tour. You can do the VIP tour and get that set up ahead of time. You have to have a 6-hour minimum, I believe. You can do it as long as you want, as long as the park is open. But just a suggestion is... if you're going to be in the park all day, regardless of when your VIP tour is, don't get it first thing in the morning like most tours, because the crowds are low and the heat is low, and that's not an optimal time to have your golden fast pass, so to speak. I think doing something from maybe 12 to 6 or 11 to 5 or, you know, something like that where it's prime time.
That's a good point.
Take advantage of being able to skip right through all that garbage. And then you can still go to the park, you know, be in the park without your VIP tour guide in those earlier, cooler hours and those later, less dense hours as well.
And also with that, when you do the VIP tour, you can actually book and have them, you know, save you spots basically for any of those nighttime shows, the parades. So that new Paint the Night parade, you can get it for, if you tell them ahead of time. And they can also help you with dinner reservations
right.
for while you're there.
They'll help you with your dining, get you what you want. They'll probably get you what you want.
Except Club 33, sadly.
Yeah, that's off limits. That's just untouchable.
Yeah.
He was trying to get us into Walt's apartment, which is even off of the Walk in Walt's Footstep tour. What they're doing on that tour now is the Dream Suite over Pirates. And they still do tours of Walt's apartment, but I'm not sure how you get in.
The Adventures by Disney does it.
Okay.
Do they really? Oh, do they have like a one-day ABD add-on there or anything? Do you know?
Not to my knowledge.
I don't think so.
No. I think they used to have it, but they don't have it anymore, because that would be something fun to do.
They got rid of it when they started with the full ABD out there.
Okay. Huh. Thank you.
So that was
We got to see it when we were there in 2011, but yeah, they've, and for a while it was on the Walt's Footsteps tour, but
it was because Lisa and I did
off.
It.
You guys remember the other celebrity sighting that we had?
No.
Tony Hawk.
I didn't see him.
Yeah, he was in the car right before ours.
Oh, okay.
Natalie was thrilled. She got to sit in the same seat that he did.
Mm-hmm. She liked it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was our big, exciting LA adventure. So, now, Steve, listener.
So, we're off to Listener Corner. And Jezebel asks, what is the best way to get from LAX to Disneyland?
Oh, we've got thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm. So we've
done... Fly.
Private helicopter.
So the problem with Disneyland, if you're used to World, is there's no Magical Express. And you're really
there's
spoiled.
There's nothing magical about their
yes.
Express.
No. They don't take your bags to your resort an hour and a half away. You're on your own.
So basically you can book the Disneyland Express, which is a private gray line bus. The difficulties are that there's no real place to pick it up. You go outside and you stand underneath the green general boarding area, and it comes basically around every 60 minutes at no set time. So you can be there for over an hour, or you could just happen to pick one up. I know Lauren waited over an hour. First time ever, got it within the first 5 minutes. So we were very lucky to catch it, and Lauren, of course, waited for more than an hour to catch it.
But
I highly recommend
same
flying into Santa Ana.
Oh, the problem is the flights are a lot more expensive depending on where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Because every time I price it, it's $200 more round trip to fly in and out of
County. That's the same as when I would go out of Raleigh. It was so much cheaper to go into LAX than any of the other neighboring airports.
See, that when we flew from Pittsburgh, we got incredible prices into to Santa Ana. Hmm. So
I have to say, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say it really spoiled us.
A lot of people complain about Disneyland Express, but I have never had a bad experience with it ever.
I have to be honest. I think after my experience this time, I will go with Super Shuttle next time I go.
Now, we learned something about Super Shuttle in our Disneyland training, because I've taken Super Shuttle before, and I just booked it on my own. And it's just a random bag of dropping people. I dropped someone off at a car dealership for work. I took someone to their apartment complex. I dropped people off, and I watched on a map on my phone for 2 hours as we drove around the entire state, dropping people off until finally we took me to the hotel as the last person.
Yeah, that's been my experience with Super Shuttle as well.
But we talked to the people at Disneyland in our training. They're like, well, if you book it as part of your Disneyland package, we guarantee that shuttle comes right to the Disney hotels. So if you book it with one of us at Pixie Vacations, we can add that to a Disneyland package, and then you'll get on a Super Shuttle that comes directly to the Disneyland Hotel, the Grand California, and Paradise Pier. So that was something new that we took away, which I hadn't even known, which is awesome. Because those shuttles come, like, constantly. When you're waiting out there for that Disneyland Express and hoping it doesn't go by, you see so many little Super Shuttles go by. You're like, oh, it just drives you crazy.
Yeah, the little ones.
Well, that's what I was doing for an hour and a half. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, Super Shuttle, Super Shuttle, Super Shuttle, Super Shuttle. I'm like, why am I standing here?
It's not the comfort of Disney's Magical Express.
Yeah.
No.
I have to say,
the one thing I wouldn't recommend is taking your own car and driving without a GPS. Yes. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So, because I did that once, and it took me like 4 hours. So.
Yeah, because when you get on those shuttle, even the Magic Disneyland Express is pretty quick. They get in the express lane. And you're pretty well. You're on your way.
I think I could do it now, but the first time going, it was a really big mistake. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of traffic.
Yes.
And we also wanted to talk about our Mouse Chat meetup.
Yes.
Are we having one of those?
We are.
We're totally having one of those.
It's in October. And do any of you guys know the exact date? I know it's a Saturday.
Oh, I do.
It's
the weekend of the 16th of October.
So on the 17th in the morning at 11 o'clock, we're going to be meeting up at the Magic Kingdom to do a scavenger hunt. And those have always been really successful for us. All you have to do is sign up, and Steve will put a link in the show notes. And I'll also start putting links up on the Facebook page. So we're doing that on Saturday at 11 o'clock. Be there.
Yeah, it's free. And we give away free stuff. It's free. Yeah. You just have to pay to get into the park.
Yeah, you have to pay to get in the park. It takes a couple of hours. We've had some really good teams. Like every year, these people go and they just totally get it done while all of us stand around and chat, because we're not searching for anything, thank God. And then later on that day, what else are we doing, Sharpie? Something you enjoy thoroughly.
There are so many things that I enjoy.
Are we just telling puns all day?
We're going to have a Chris Sharpie pun-a-thon.
It's going to be Sharpie Punny Sunday.
I will personally be sitting there crying if that's what happens.
To piano music.
I will be crying with you.
We're going to Jelly Rolls.
So the deal is we originally had something more elaborate planned, but we couldn't get everyone in. So we switched it over to Jelly Rolls, so that I personally only want to go there to see Steve in complete and utter misery, because he hates piano bars.
Yeah, there's like nothing I hate more.
Yes. And anyone who's coming, please, please, if you request nothing, please request Cheeseburger in Paradise.
God, I hate that.
And what's the other one you hate? American Pie.
I hate the one they just go. What is the one? Is that the one that goes on forever? Yeah.
Yes,
the American Pie,
yes,
like, it's like it's never going to end.
Wait, Steve, you have on here. We meet 7 to 10, but feel free to leave before 10.
Yeah, we're going to be meeting from 7 to 10. But if you just want to come over and say hi and then, like, we'll head out and grab something.
But, yeah, so we'll
and
be
remember
there.
Remember, there is a cover charge.
What is it, like $12?
Yeah.
It's the cheapest night out in Disney World you will ever spend. And I
and
mean
the
that.
The drinks are amazing.
Yeah, I mean that monetarily and otherwise. Yeah, I've heard the drinks are amazing. I won't be drinking because I won't be singing.
I'll be drinking and singing. It's worth coming for that.
We're gonna do that together, Lauren.
Ooh, a duet Sharpie. I'm in.
There we go. There we go.
You know what? Can I just say we went there? So we had a meetup in January, and Steve was nice. He let Lisa go with me and everyone else. She and I went over together and met up with everyone, and he watched the kids. And so, because they had their children with them. And I was like, this is going to be awful. But one of the things that cracked me up and made me laugh was that, because I thought of Lauren, who wasn't with us, was that they played Bon Jovi on these dueling pianos. And of course, Lauren is from New Jersey, so Bon Jovi is like the Pope there. And
yeah, he's the Pope, and Bruce Springsteen's the governor.
Yes, exactly. So like, I was like, oh my God, if only Lauren was here, she would either love it or hate it. But
I would have loved it.
I sat there.
I love dueling pianos.
Oh, do you really?
I do. Oh. I'm a dork. I love it. I'm a huge sucker for piano and acoustic guitar. You give me either one of those and I'm gonna have a good time. I love
it.
All
right. Well, so it'd be a good time for you guys.
Yeah. I hope
I'll
you
put up with
yourself.
It. I only got to do it for
So come enjoy
hours.
Yourself with Lauren and I.
Yeah.
But laugh at Steve.
Before I drink, I'm gonna have to have. Before I do this, any singing, I'm gonna have to have a couple drinks.
That's fine.
Yeah, that can be arranged.
Yay!
It's gonna be so uncomfortable for me and Steve because we don't like watching it. It's like a
It's like watching a train slowly crash, isn't it?
It really is.
Oh. Well, I think that's gonna wrap it up. Lisa, you want to take it home?
Take it home. All right.
Pull it into the station, Lisa.
I'm going to be taking this home. I'd like to thank Pixie Vacations for sponsoring the podcast. If you enjoy our shows, you can find them at iTunes and at mousechat.net, where you can download them. If you have any comments or questions for us, please send those to us at comments@mousechat.net. Thank you so much for listening, and please join us again next time on Mouse Chat.